Howdy neighbors, Ron Hayes, Beef Buzzing with you today with Hannah Thompson-Weeman of the Animal Agriculture Alliance talking sustainability in just a moment.
Because the challenges you face are getting bigger every year, BASF is committed to helping with more than boots on the ground. We're committed to boots in the mud, boots on the steps of your truck, your tractor, your combine, the linoleum tiles of your coffee shop, the concrete of your co-op, the gravel in your shed. So we can listen, learn firsthand, help right now to ensure success. BASF, helping you do the biggest job on earth.
Cooler weather is on the horizon, providing a valuable opportunity to deworm your cattle with Safeguard. When temperatures begin to drop, parasite activity on the pasture declines as they prepare to take a break for the winter. That's the time to clean out those summer and fall parasites with Safeguard so you can feed the cattle and not the worms this winter. Available in blocks, cubes, pellets, or free choice mineral, Safeguard feed formulations are the convenient, labor-saving way to deworm cattle. Remember to consult your veterinarian for assistance in the diagnosis, treatment, and control of parasitism. See label for feeding instructions, meat withhold, and milk discard.
Hannah Thompson-Weeman with the Animal Agriculture Alliance says it's a fairly new tactic, the anti-animal agriculture crowd going after production agriculture and using the sustainability platform to try to get the job done.
Sustainability really honestly has taken up more of our time at the Alliance over the past year, I would say, than anything else. And really, animal welfare has been our bread and butter since we got started in the late 80s. But today, that climate conversation is what we're seeing the most of, because the new administration is focused on it. The media is focused on it. So even more so than animal welfare, it's dominating the headlines. Activists are really latching onto it because, you know, saying go vegan for decades, that didn't work. Really aggressively targeting animal welfare, that hasn't worked in their efforts to convince people not to support animal agriculture. So now they're turning to the climate conversation and saying that if you care about your environmental impact, the number one thing you need to do is go vegan, even though that really doesn't have support in sound science. And the beef community has really stepped up to be more aggressive in that conversation and really try to set the record straight, both around how we account for methane and then in ways that the industry is taking a really proactive stance in being even more efficient in our production. Just this past week, the North American Meat Institute announced a pretty ambitious climate commitment that their members were making that represents a lot of the large-scale modern meat community. We've got this U.S. Roundtable for Sustainable Beef. So I think it's a great opportunity for us to be there to set the record straight and correct the narrative, because it is capturing so much public attention with the UN Food Systems Summit and COP26 just wrapping up. That climate conversation is going to continue to dominate, and we're going to need to be there.
Know that you've over the years, the Alliance has done a good job of really monitoring the various gatherings of some of these folks that are anti-animal agriculture. Anything else coming out of there in particular? You've mentioned obviously some things that are happening right now.
Just like a lot of our conferences, a lot of activist conferences have gone virtual over the past year and a half. So we've continued to keep an eye on those, monitor those. They haven't been necessarily to the same scale. We haven't seen large-scale protests with some of those conferences as we have in the past, just because of either them being virtual or them being smaller. But we're seeing a lot of conversations consistently come out of those. And one is an attempt by the activist movement to claim that animal agriculture is contributing to pandemics. So whether it's the COVID-19 pandemic or whatever the next pandemic might be, they're trying to connect modern animal agriculture and say that it's brewing the next pandemic. They're playing off of people's fear. People want to be safe. There's a lot of confusion about where the COVID-19 pandemic came from.
Right.
And, you know, some of the theories do involve zoonotic disease and transfer from animals to humans, but certainly not animals that are raised commercially for food, and certainly not any kind of modern animal agriculture like we have here in the U.S. So they're trying to, put a false narrative out there about animal agriculture being a public health threat. And that's something that we've heard repeatedly across many activist conferences and even more credible conversations. Experts are referencing the potential for pandemics to come from large-scale animal production. We're also hearing a lot of discussion coming out of those conferences about legislative efforts. We saw several ballot initiative campaigns in certain states over the past year that were of concern. Colorado's Paul Laws Act, the initiative that's moving forward in Oregon that's pretty troubling, as well as some efforts at the federal level, the Farm System Reform Act, and even all the way to the very local ordinance level. You know, the San Francisco Board of Supervisors just yesterday voted to support a resolution, so not an ordinance, but a resolution that supports an initiative there called the No More Factory Farms campaign, where a group is calling for a moratorium on the construction of plants and expansion of farms in California. So we're starting to see, even all the way down at the very city level, where, you know, there's really no farms, probably plants in San Francisco, so it doesn't really affect that local ordinance, that locality where they're passing the ordinance or resolution, but they're starting to pass things and gain momentum that can then be pointed to as a precedent when they try to take that effort elsewhere. Certainly other legislative issues getting a lot of discussion, the implementation of Prop 12 in California, the implementation of Question 3 in Massachusetts. Those legislative efforts are also a major conversation at the activist conferences. And then they're also talking about pressuring restaurant, retail, and food service brands. So if legislation is taking too long, they feel like that's not effective, they're now turning their attention to pressuring really large brands that have a major impact on the supply chain to adopt certain policies that are going to be problematic to comply with and drive down efficiency.
Right. Hannah Thompson-Weeman with the Animal Agriculture Alliance. You've got the Beef Buzz on Ron. A new tradition is coming back to Oklahoma City, bringing over 9,000 head of the most elite cattle genetics North America has to offer. Cattlemen and women from 46 states and several Canadian provinces will be displaying cattle that'll fit any ranching operation. With more than 20 sales taking place in Oklahoma City, the opportunities are endless to better the genetic future of your herd. The Cattlemen's Congress has quickly become the largest cattle show in the world, so join us January 1st through the 16th in Oklahoma City. Learn more at cattlemenscongress.com. And that's your Beef Buzz, Ron Hayes, Radio Oklahoma Ag Network.